All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up? Penn, this is a special show because not only is it Father's Day,
but
you're also, like, on the ocean right now?
I'm in the water as we speak.
Yeah.
I've got sand in my toes.
Wow.
Everybody who knows me knows what a big beach guy I am.
Super beach guy.
Nothing I love more than rolling around getting sand in all my crevices.
You spend most of quarantine perfecting your bikini bod, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the Ketchum family is returning to a little bit of an old tradition. For many years in a row, we got together with Amy's family the third week of June, and we, like, you know, you all pitch in and rent a beach house down, you know, we happen to be at Bethany Beach, but whatever, you know, sort of that traditional family vacation, and here we are, and it's really great to be back with everybody. We haven't done this in a few years, so we had it on the books before quarantine, and you know, we just, I don't know. It's like one of those personal decisions. You know, we've all been sort of quarantining together. So we felt like it was a pretty safe thing to do. And, So I'm down here at the beach. The girls were disappointed because, do you remember what we did last year?
Yeah, I have some of the best dad socks ever.
So as soon as we were like talking about, I was like, well, I got to bring, you know, stuff to do the show. And Marley was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to give David his socks.
There's always so next year.
Marley and Kayla send their best, as always. Happy Father's Day to David.
Thanks.
and all the other future dads that are out there listening to the show. But definitely not to any of the actual dads.
Yeah, no, they don't. Why would they deserve it?
So let me show you. I got a really cool gift for Father's Day. Oh. I don't know if we've discussed this on the show, but got the Millersville swag. What's up?
Yeah, Millersville dad shirt. What's up, man?
That's the pretty dad shirt. So,
what happens when you wear the Millersville dad shirt and not the crap? What's the
University of Delaware?
Yeah, the Delaware shirt.
Whenever I wear the Millersville dad shirt, I always wear the Delaware bikini briefs.
Okay. Well, I thought you could do is take them both and like cut them in half and then sew them back together. So one side was Millersville, the other side's the University of Delaware. You're always repping.
Listen, that's a great idea, but I could do even better idea.
Yeah.
Because the way you were discussing it was like, cut it in half so the front is Millersville and the back is Delaware or vice versa. But how about if you cut it?
so it makes even less sense?
Right. Cut it straight up and University of Millersville.
Wow. Hey, you got plans, man.
I do. I got stuff going on, David.
Heaven forbid. I got
the big ideas.
I could never step up.
Don't fence me in.
Hey, so most people know, well, maybe not most people, but we recorded midweek last week. So it was, you know, things happened, it happened. So as a result, we only have end of the week news. It's not a full week's worth of news. So a little bit short on the news, but it's fine. Whatever.
Well, there's not a lot of industry news.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of Penn Cinema news.
Tell me more.
So let me break it down. I mean, I guess other people are impacted as well. But as far as I'm concerned, the governor announced that Penn Cinema can open on June 26th.
Specifically, he came out.
Specifically, that's what the announcement said. Right. And then there was a reporter in the room who raised her hand and was like, What about all the other businesses that have been in yellow? Can they go to green as well? And the governor said, yes, in addition to Penn Cinema, the other restaurants and businesses and places of entertainment and worship can also move to the green.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's exciting news, because what that means is it means that Penn Cinema Huntington Valley and Penn Cinema Lititz will both open, I believe, on the 26th. We are still really hustling to make sure that we have our ducks in a row. I don't think we've put tickets on sale because I don't think that we're 100% yet, but I want to say we're 96, 97%. We're right there. Put it this way, if it's not June 26th, it's going to be June 27th or 28th or July 1st, but it's coming.
Cool.
And so for the last few months, I've been saying we have two big areas to overcome. The first is the fact that we're not allowed to do business, and the second is the lack of new movies.
Right.
So we've overcome the first one. So now we're opening our doors, you know, here in the next week or so, and we're excited about that. And now we're sort of like, oh, snap. We're up against that other thing. Yeah. We're up against that whole other thing. So, I mean, have you heard about this? I mean, I know we've talked about it on the show, but we got Russell Crowe with Unhinged.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's July 10th. We talked about it last week. I remember telling you that the studio guys all said, like, hey, this movie is exactly what we need, blah, blah, blah. So Unhinged opens July 10th. But until then, like, I think we have a pretty decent lineup of films. We got Disney back at the table with, I'm blanking on the three movies we're opening from Disney, but, they're pretty good ones. The original Avengers.
Okay.
Which I think will do business. The Greatest Showman, which I really think is going to do business. And, I think Jungle Book, the live action kids movie. So that'll be cool. The interesting thing about the Disney titles is they're 1 week only. And I called my guy from Disney and I was like, listen, for the second week that we're open, we want to play a Star Wars movie. And my boy David, you know, he could pick any title he wants. So obviously we want to play The Force Awakens.
Twice a day.
Right.
In every theater.
So I'm announcing for sure, 100%, for 100%, The Force Awakens, Hundo July P. 3rd, in Hundo P, in Huntington Valley and Lititz and Wilmington. All three locations will have The Force Awakens. Now, listen, David, I want you to plan carefully because it's just for 1 week.
Now, have you staggered the showtime so that I can spend one day going to each theater and seeing all three all of them?
So we have that, and then actually, all kidding aside, no jokes.
Hold on. This is all seriousness here.
Can you just get it together for 1 minute?
Let me sit down.
Can you, for 1 minute,
okay,
try to pay attention. Try to keep up with me. You ready? Right.
Hold on.
Because this is also official, and it's actually, I think, pretty exciting.
Okay.
A little background so that we make sure that we all share my excitement for it. Everybody remembers that Disney has the entire Star Wars franchise on lockdown, right?
Yeah.
So you can't just go watch A New Hope or Return of the Jedi or anything like that. So last week or the week before, we discussed The Empire Strikes Back as being, I think it was Goonies Jason who put Empire Strikes Back on his Mount Rushmore,
right,
of science fiction movies. So I'm here to tell you that July 10th, at all three Penn Cinema locations, The Empire Strikes Back 40th anniversary, whoa, celebration kicks in.
Whoa.
So, yeah, all kidding aside, I'm pretty excited. The Empire Strikes Back on the big screen in a proper movie theater, a legit theatrical presentation. We'll also probably be playing it at the drive-in a few different nights. Although, like, if I love the drive-in. Drive-in's all kinds of fun. But if I'm going to go see Empire Strikes Back, I want to be sitting in a theater.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just me. But
this is the one that's based off a true story, though, right?
Right. That's what's so special about it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Right. the rest are science fiction.
Yeah. But this is the real story.
This is science nonfiction. It's a whole new genre.
The best genre.
Science nonfiction. Right.
So are you prepared to talk about what's life going to be like in the theater now? Like, what kind of things are required? What's...
Well, did you read the article that Credit Suisse has ranked the cleanest movie theater chains?
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, so they did. And it was a little, like, the headline was a little more interesting than the article. Because the article, I could have summarized the article by saying, instead of reporting what people are doing, the only variable that I can find that matters is the degree to which a theater chain takes the coronavirus seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not really any right, in my opinion, there's not really any right answers. The question is just a question of, do you take it seriously? Are you putting some safety measures in place? Apparently, Cinemark is taking it the most seriously. AMC is right behind them. And Regal is getting poor marks. And I don't mean to be casting any dispersions, but I guess the analyst's concern about Regal is that Regal is only requiring customers to wear masks in a municipality that is also requiring masks. So Regal is choosing to sort of hide behind the local municipalities.
Okay.
Which I think is, like, on the one hand, I see their position. Their position is, hey, if the risk is so low out in Tumbleweed, Oklahoma, we shouldn't make people wear masks. But on the other hand, you know, I feel like it does reflect a lack of seriousness about, you know, the social distancing and stuff like that. So anyway, to answer your question, yes, we're taking it very seriously. We are allowing additional time in between all show times. All of our staff will be wearing masks and gloves. There will be, same as everywhere else you go, you'll be required to wear a mask when you're in the common area. We have extra disinfecting going on. One of the things that we do, which I think is actually a big deal, even though it's so simple, but, like, for example, we're going to prop open all of our theater, all our auditorium doors will be propped open while you're coming in and out of the movie, so that after the movie starts, we'll shut them. But during the busiest time when most people are walking in and out of the theater, they won't have to grab a door handle. I think the less surfaces there are for people to touch, you automatically, like, exponentially reduce the risk of transmitting any kind of infection. So that's what we're doing. We're sort of, you know, I think we're taking it very seriously, but at the same time, we're also very respectful of the fact that, you know, people are, they're not trying to come in and walk into a sterile emergency room or, you know, operating room or something like that. So we're trying to sort of do the basics, but not get too crazy, which sounds kind of stupid saying it like that, because I guess you really can't be too careful. But so that's what we're doing. The other thing that we're starting out with is a little bit of a limited schedule. So you're not going to see 10 a.m. shows. You're not going to see, you know, that craziness. Certainly if demand starts stepping up, we'll add those shows, only because we want to really be sure to spread people out. I think we talked last week about one of the things we're doing, just like so many, I mean, I'm not trying to say we're special, because lots of people do this, is our reserve seating will, when you reserve your party of seats, it'll automatically lock out one seat on each side of you, so that automatically every group that comes in to see a movie, every party, if you will have two seats between them, which is almost 6 feet. But by the time you get from face to face, I think it's 6 feet. So so I think those are some measures we're putting into place. I had an interesting question for you.
Oh.
just as a moviegoer, as somebody who likes to go to movies, and certainly podcasts at Penn Cinema, let me know if any of you listeners have an opinion on this. I would never do this at Penn Cinema because it's bigger, more complicated, and, you know, you just don't want to go this route in a large theater. But we also I run a little movie theater in Ephrata that's a very small, hometowny, two screen, what we call in the business a twin. And what I'm doing there is I'm setting the capacity. Penn Cinema is set also at 50% capacity. Although in reality, by the time you take out those two seats for every group of people that buy tickets, it really ends up being like set at like 40% capacity, but I digress. So, and my question for you is, in Ephrata, I'm setting it at 50% capacity, and I'm going back to general admission. And my thought process is, it's such a small theater that I feel like people will be comfortable buying their ticket and then walking in and sort of looking at the room and being able to decide based on their comfort level where they want to sit. What do you think about that approach? Do you think that's a good approach, or should I definitely go back to reserve seating? Because we can do the exact same system in Ephrata that we're doing in Penn Cinema. But I honestly felt like the general admission thing, it feels, there's something that feels right about it for a small theater. How does that sit with you?
I could see, for a twin, I could see it. All right. My personal preference is always the assigned seats. I like that extra, like, what's the right word? Rule or guideline in place?
Yeah.
When dealing with other people, even in a non-pandemic time frame. And, like, the amount of people I see at theaters, like, not respecting the assigned seats and stuff always is crazy. But it's so much easier to walk in and be like, hey, you're in my seat, and have, like, know that there's assigned seats when you have them than it was, you know, when you were like, hey, I wanted someone to sit next to me, and now they can't.
Right. I think it's...
But the theater's going to be a lot more empty, so...
That's exactly what I was going to say, was I think when I hear you talk, I picture a full theater.
Yeah.
When I talk, I picture 6 or 7 people in an auditorium.
Yeah. I think for Ephrata, I think it's not a big deal.
I'm going to try it now, and I'm going to see how it goes, and the sort of calendar line is going to be Tenet. If I feel like it's at all questionable, then when we start having new movies I think Tenet will be the first new movie in Ephrata. I don't think we're going to get Unhinged in Ephrata, but we might. But anyway, the first new movie, I might go back to assigned seating just on the off chance that you get 60 people or 50 people or, you know, a semi full house.
Yeah.
I totally hear you if it's a big theater. But I think if you're talking about 10 people, I feel like the 10 people, you know, it's human nature. Yeah. We learned in Psych 101, people, like when you got on an elevator, 4 people get in an elevator, they all go to their own corners. It's just human nature.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Well,
so anyway,
I break dance in the middle of an elevator. I don't know about you.
All right, enough with this stuff. That's what we're doing. We're excited to be coming back, excited to be open. It's going to be a really interesting experience. I'm excited and also terrified.
Let me tell you about something else you should be excited and terrified about.
Perfect.
All right.
Wait. Excited and also terrified.
And also terrified.
And also terrified. Gotcha. Okay. I'm ready.
Deep Blue Sea 3 is coming. No, it's not coming to theaters, but I was just shocked to find out that there was more than one Deep Blue Sea, that there was a Deep Blue Sea 2, let alone a 3. Look, I remember loving Deep Blue Sea, the first one, because it was so, like, surprising to see Samuel L. Jackson get killed off, like, that right. one moment and everything. But this third one, I was watching the trailer, and I'm like, I mean, this looks like a B movie, but it doesn't look that bad. It actually looks like some of it. I was like laughing, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, my B movie charm was coming up." There's a point where these two people are on the dock, and they're looking into the water, and the guy's like, "Oh, that got really intense there." And then the shark comes up through the dock and like eats him. And I was just dying. So
do you remember the name of the island that they're on?
Oh, in Deep Blue Sea 3?
Yeah. No, in Deep Blue Sea, there's like this island in Deep Blue, I guess in the second one.
Oh.
It's the Island of Little Happy.
Wow. I feel like that might be the same island in Deep Blue Sea 3.
Where do you go to watch Deep Blue Sea 3? Like, is that going to be... How do I watch it?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's Amazon? Prime?
It sounds like an Amazon Prime thing, but I tell you what, I was really glad to hear you just mention that you enjoyed Deep Blue Sea, because I love Deep Blue Sea. I know, whatever.
It is a guilty pleasure. You know? It's good, yeah.
So I was also embarrassed and glad to hear that you've also... I missed Deep Blue Sea 2.
How could we? Right? How?
That's madness. Somehow we must have blinked.
Yeah.
We must have blinked. I don't know, but I tell you two things. I'm going to absolutely find Deep Blue Sea 2 and watch it. And then I'm absolutely going to watch Deep Blue Sea 3.
Man. Oh,
I think we just stumbled on our movie for next week.
Yep. Oh, man. Hey, let me tell you about Michael Mann. He's setting up his long gestating passion project, Ferrari, with none other than this week's review star, Hugh Jackman. It's with STX and Amazon teaming up on international sales. The picture is expected to go into production this spring. Mann has noted... I'm trying to read here. You're moving the text around. Come on. Mann has notably been trying to get his film made for years with a script by the late Troy Kennedy Martin, who wrote the original Italian Job and Achilles Heroes. As reported by Deadline, the film is expected to depict the summer of 1957 when Enzo Fiori found himself as a professional and at a professional and personal crossroads. He was on the verge of bankruptcy, his marriage was crumbling, and the pressure was on for the magnate to dominate the brutal Mille Miglia race across Italy. Besting Ford v. Ferrari will be a tall order. And I also loved The Force Awakens. Never again will I read word for word. I knew something was... I'm reading from a shared Google Doc, and as I'm reading it, the text is moving around because he's editing people's names and stuff.
All right, I have three things to say about this.
Okay, all right.
Are you ready? Right. Thing number one. First of all, I'm so glad that you finally had the courage to announce and profess your love for The Force Awakens.
Oh my gosh, finally. I was able to let it out.
Okay, secondly, we talk about Hugh Jackman a lot, right?
Yeah.
All right, he was in this movie that we're going to review in a few minutes called X-Men's Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
He was in a movie we referenced a few minutes ago with The Greatest Showman opening at Penn Cinemas on this coming next week. And I said Penn Cinemas on purpose because there's three of them that it's opening in, not because that's our name. Because people who know me know that that's like a pet peeve. I like it. It's called Penn Cinema, not called Penn Cinemas.
Are you the type of guy who gets upset when people say I'm going to the ATM machine?
A little bit.
Yeah. I thought maybe.
So anyway, we're talking a lot about Hugh Jackman lately, and I just want to say, for the benefit of our listeners, it's a lot more fun to talk about him when you think of it as three words. Hugh Jackman. You'll never look at it. That was fun for a while. Yeah. Hugh Jackman, right? Like an Ackman that's huge. But now what I'm saying is Jackman.
Whoa. Jackman.
The Jackman. So, but the third thing I want to say, I think I agree with whoever wrote this article. I'm excited for Michael Mann. Like, he's made some good movies. I know that this is a passion project. I loved Ford versus Ferrari, and I know he's not going to be able to top that or whatever. And I hate the fact that no matter what this movie does, it's going to be compared to Ford v. Ferrari. But I think this is more of a biopic than a sort of a nonfiction sort of amazing story. But anyway, so I just wanted to say, like, you know, I think Michael Mann's pretty dope, and I'm glad, you know, that this movie is sort of coming at it.
Expect it to race into your lives sometime soon?
Okay, all right. I'll give that one to you only because it's Father's Day. So you got the Father's Day joke going. All right.
Very yes.
Good. All right, so David.
Oh.
I put some news on our show notes that you were not aware of.
That is true.
And the news was none other than Dune news.
Wow.
So the word on the street is that Dune is, on the one hand, wrapped and in the can, But on the other hand, has now announced, or sort of word came out, Oscar Isaac, who plays Duke Leto Atreides, the father to Chalamet's Paul Atreides, Oscar Isaac said that they're doing some additional shooting in August. And there's saying in Budapest, in Hungary, he thinks it looks amazing and is excited to see it come together. What do you think of this?
Well, I know you weren't looking at my face, because if you would have seen my eyes go when he made the mispronunciation of the names, Leto Atreides,
Leto. Leto. Wait, what's what? How, it's Leto.
Leto Atreides.
Atreides.
Atreides. Yeah, like a trade.
You know, Atreides. This is my problem. This is why it's going to be so hard for me to read the book. Because I can't. Why can't they just be like, you know, Bob Williamson,
Luke Smith? just wait till you get the last name Harkonnen.
Okay, so like, now if you can get over my butchering of the correct pronunciation, what's your thought on additional photography? I have an opinion on it, but I'm curious to hear yours.
Hey, if it makes the movie better, like, go for it. Like, it's no big deal. I see it as, at this point, as more of a kind of sealing the deal type thing, where there are definitely movies where you're like, oh, they're back for reshoots, and it's like, they're correcting something.
Totally agree.
But this is more the feel of like, hey, this will make it better if we add a little bit more.
I feel like they suddenly had six more months through no fault of their own, right?
Yeah.
Or did they? Has Dune been pushed back because of the quarantine?
No.
Okay. No. So this is unrelated to quarantine news. So my theory goes right out the window.
Yeah, because I think I think Dune got pushed back a month before quarantine started. So
yeah. So here's the thing. Here's my opinion on this. On the one hand, I'm fine with it, but Oscar Isaac, who plays Duke Leto Atreides.
Whoa. Very good.
he was interviewed and made this quote. And this, I was fine with the story. I was fine with the news. I did not like the end of this quote. Here's the quote. "It's kind of wild that we're doing some additional shooting a few months before it's supposed to come out. But that happened with Star Wars as well." End quote. What do you think of that? Like, here's. I don't like that he's trying to compare the film to Star Wars, and it makes me nervous that he feels that he needs to like validate. Like, nobody has a problem with this. Like, I would have liked to see him say it's kind of wild that we're doing some additional shooting a few months before it's supposed to come out. Period.
Yeah, I think that the whole sentence is a damage control sentence.
Could be, and
not that, like, you and I were like, oh, this sounds fine, right? But I think when they set him down in that room, they said, hey, look, they're going to try and twist this and make it look like we don't know what we're doing. And
gotcha.
You can't say anything that makes this reshoots look bad.
Right.
And so he was probably like, yeah, it's kind of wild that they're doing reshoots so close to opening. But I mean, they did that with Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, it worked out okay for Star Wars. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. All right. I'll give it to you. I give him the benefit of the doubt. First of all, I love Oscar Isaac. Second of all, yeah, you're right. It's just a comment. It's just an interview he did. It's probably not that big a deal.
You know what is a big deal? All the new movie trailers we got. King of Segways? More like Emperor of Segways. All right. So we have the movie Followed, which I can already not remember what it's about, and I watched the trailer.
So Followed is a horror movie that once I start talking about it, you'll remember the trailer. It actually is one of those horror movies that I want to see. It's an interesting premise. It's about a video, like a guy who does a vlog. He has like a video, he's got followers and stuff like that. And he goes to like haunted hotels and does like a video log of said haunting, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe he's a ghost chaser. I'm not sure if that's like a thing or if that's what he is or not. But he goes to this supposedly haunted hotel, and it reminds me, they don't make any comparison to this in the movie, it's not at all the same thing, but it's a little similar to the Blair Witch Project. In other words, you know, it's supposed to be, some of it is supposed to be, you know, found footage. And at the end of the trailer, they say something like, these are his final posts. And the idea is if you know, he's trying to get people to follow his vlog, which somehow I think, if I get from the trailer correctly, lures people into the hotel, where they supposedly presumably meet their demise. Do you remember?
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah.
I think it looked good. I think it looked well done and interesting. A horror movie is not my favorite genre, but a horror movie with a good premise, I'm in.
All right.
So it was not my trailer of the week, but it was good. And if you're into horror, I recommend Followed.
We also saw The Kingsman had a new trailer put out. Now, I know you're all saying, Kingsman, they had trailers up before. This is actually a new trailer with a new release date of September 18th. I think it might be one of the best trailers for the movie so far. It had a lot of action. It had enough of the comedy to keep going, enough of the mystery. It wasn't too heavy on any one of them, which I kind of felt all the other trailers were leaning one way or the other. It was all about the action, or it was all about the witty comedy, and neither of them, I think, alone are why you see a Watchmen movie. You definitely see, or not Watchmen, Kingsman, is what eats together that makes those movies fun. So,
when was the last time you watched Watchmen?
I don't know. I think I watched the series earlier this year.
Really? Yeah. I just, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, I haven't watched that movie in years.
That movie is good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's lit. So the Kingsman opens on September 18th. I agree with you. I thought it was really great. I thought the trailer was dynamite. I'm all in. Part of me thinks this is going to be better than the Kingsman.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah.
I think the Kingsman was not as widely liked. Like, it wasn't hated on, but it was just wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah. Okay, so the next trailer is Summer of 85, as in 1985. This is a French movie, a French film, sorry. This is a French film. This is the first movie to come out of the Digital Cannes Film Festival. It has a French release date later this year, or I should say this summer, but no release date in the U.S. But I included the trailer because this is a great trailer. So the premise is they're gonna label this like a gay love movie, right? Because the two main characters are men and it's a love story. But I think what's great about this trailer, first of all, incredibly well done, beautiful trailer, killer soundtrack, exciting, beautiful, pleasant to look at, like just really nicely done. But also, I might be wrong. Obviously, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know any of the people involved in it. But I think, and I think this would be great news if I'm right, I think that this movie is not necessarily about the fact that these guys are gay. You know what I mean? Like it's a love story, and there's some drama, and there's some mystery, and there's, you know, whatever. But it just happens that the two people who are in love happen to both be men.
Right. I think it's a love triangle story than just about their, it's about love and not about their sexuality, I think.
Right. Yeah. Which would be cool. So I don't know, but the thing that caught my eye about this movie is how well done the trailer was. The soundtrack is amazing. Really, really well done trailer. So I recommend that if you're into trailers, if you like trailers, like I'll bet you Goonies Jason would enjoy just taking 2.5 minutes to watch a trailer because he watches every movie ever. I don't know if we'll ever get the chance to see this movie in the States in a theater. I mean, I guess probably. But anyway, Summer of 85, beautifully, beautifully done trailer.
Whenever I see a trailer for a French love movie, I always think of Arrested Development And it's like George Michael, when he goes to see the trailer of the French film about the cousins in love, and he's just like, those French really know how to make a movie.
right, because he's in love with his cousin.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, what do we got next?
We got The Rental. This is a multi-platform release from IFC Films. This looks kind of creepy. I mean, I don't know what to think. I mean, it doesn't look amazing, but I guess the idea is these people go to they rent a beach house, kind of similar to what Penn's doing right now. And then they find cameras everywhere in the house, kind of similar, like Penn was telling me earlier. they find cameras everywhere, and then it becomes like, who's spying on who and what's going on? Is someone in the group doing it? Is someone outside of the group doing it? There looks to be a bunch of stuff going on. It stars Allison Brie, which is pretty cool. So, I don't know. It looks interesting.
Where do we know Allison Brie from?
She was in Community. She was in, the Mad Men. And she was in, she recently had a show about female wrestlers. I forget what it's called.
Glow.
Glow, yeah.
Glow, yeah. Okay. All right, yeah, no, I agree. The trailer, the creepy as hell. It's a multi-platform release, which what means that if you don't want to support your local movie theater, you can watch it at home.
Right.
While you're on your phone and people are talking to you and you're getting interrupted and all that kind of stuff, you can sit on your couch and watch it.
Right, exactly.
on a tiny little screen.
Another film that's getting a multi-platform release, Most Wanted. It's a Saban Films movie starring Josh Hartnett, who I completely forgot existed. and here he is in a starring role. It also has Jim Gaffigan, and it's about a reporter, Josh Hartnett, playing himself, obviously, trying to save a guy on death row in another country. So, I think Penn has fallen asleep.
Did you hear that thud? That was the sound of my head hitting the microphone. I don't know. What do you think? Am I being too harsh? I felt like this trailer was a waste of 2 minutes. I'll never get back.
Oh, honestly, I don't care about this movie at all. Jim Gaffigan's great, so I was kind of like, oh, maybe that's a little bit interesting. But Josh Hartnett, he kept running around, and all I kept thinking is, hey, isn't he a little skinny? Like, he doesn't look like I would have thought he would have been buffer. That was most of what I was thinking during this trailer. So there you go.
All right, let's get to a real trailer. Candyman, yeah. The paper trailer. So the movie is Candyman, which we watched a trailer of this. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we watched a trailer of this months ago. And then this is a trailer that is being referred to as the paper trailer because they did the entire trailer with paper cutouts. You got to watch this trailer.
Yeah.
This is my trailer of the week. Same only here. Because it's the most original trailer. Is it the most original trailer I've ever seen? Maybe.
It's pretty crazy. It's all paper, silent film, telling the story of the Candyman.
In and of itself, it's an entertaining piece of work. It's a piece of art in and of itself.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I would. This is definitely my trailer of the week. Summer of 85 is a really great trailer, but this Candyman trailer. So this is interesting because this is the third horror movie that we're talking about this week, and I would watch all three of them. I would go see Followed. I would go see The Rental. I would probably watch The Rental at home, and I would definitely. I'm looking forward to seeing Candyman.
Yeah. This trailer reminded me of a little thing. I don't want to brag or anything, but a television series I produced called Young Lancaster had some paper puppeteering in it, and we did it first, but whatever.
let's talk about that for a minute. I'm just pulling up YouTube.com here. Young Lancaster, huh? Can we if we pull that up, are we gonna find it?
Yeah, it's on. It was syndicated in a couple stations in central Pennsylvania for a few years. It was the number one on, I forget, but it was an indie rental site for, I think, 2.5 years. It was their number one comedy. And I think in the last year or so, they they went ahead and put all the episodes on YouTube
for free. All right.
So
Young Lancaster outtakes, you can see. You can see, obviously, it was shot in Lancaster. Yep. There's a guy peeing on a fence.
What?
There's some puppet.
Yeah, the puppet turned. Yeah.
You don't remember the guy peeing in the backyard?
Oh, yeah. In the backyard. I thought I was thinking of chain link fence. That was a wooden fence.
No, that would be weird. Peeing on a chain link fence doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, come on now.
Get out there. All right, David, we're going to have to talk about this. I don't want to I'm not trying to totally derail this whole episode seven that we're on right now, but I'm watching it here with no sound. I mean, it looks pretty awesome.
I'm pretty sure. Now, maybe you walked out, but you were there for the premiere.
Oh, I definitely walked out.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. We had a red carpet. We had a red carpet premiere at the old Zotropolis.
Oh my God.
Red carpet provided by Penn Cinema.
Oh, then I definitely was not there if it was at the old Zotropolis.
Okay.
Not for lack of respect, but just for,
I thought you were. Maybe.
Was I?
Maybe not.
I don't think so. When I said I walked out, what I was referring to was we host a lot of times, and I'm not saying every time, but a lot of times we host a premiere at the theater as a favor to an artist, and that's great. But a lot of times, I'm working. I'm willing to host a premiere. Does that mean I have to stay and watch your 2.5-hour movie? you know, a guy brings in a documentary about, kittens and the challenges they face with regards to nearsightedness.
You wouldn't watch that? Come on.
I'm just saying, sometimes I got better stuff to do. Sometimes. But anyway, so yeah, we're going to have to come back to this. Young Lancaster is going to go on our future. We're going to do a show about Young Lancaster.
All right. I'm down. All right. So this brings us to our movie review of the week.
Dun, 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 dun.
X-Men Origins Wolverine was supposed to be the first movie in a series of movies called X-Men Origins, but did so well, they dropped it and never came back to it.
Who does it star, David?
Hugh Jackman.
Jackman.
Yeah.
The Jackman.
It's about the early years of Wolverine, or as he was known then, James Logan.
Jimmy
Logue. And kind of how he kind of got wrapped up with Weapon X and got his adamantium skeleton, et cetera, et cetera. It ends not too far from here at Three Mile Island, so there's that. I guess you could call this, for you and me, this is a historically accurate film. So
this is our second science nonfiction movie of the day.
Right. This is local history for us.
Right. This is just life.
Yeah. Exactly. So you were jonesing.
Yeah.
To watch it. You came at me last week and you were like, I want to see the masterpiece.
Yes.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. And post-show, you told me why you wanted to see it. And I want you to tell this again, and I want everyone at home who's a psychologist, which is all of you, to look up brainwashing and see if this fits that category. So why was it that you wanted to watch this movie?
Okay. What had happened was the day that we were supposed to really dig into a new projector for the drive-in movie theater that we built in Lititz, the day that we were supposed to put all that equipment together and shine a light for the first time and see if the sound rack worked with it, see if the equipment worked and see if the hard drive worked, see if everything worked. The day we were supposed to do that for the drive-in, it was raining. So therefore, we were like, well, we didn't have much time. Because I want to say this was Wednesday, and our first show was on sale, ready to open on Saturday night. And so we were really pretty tight on time. And so we decided to set everything up as if it was freestanding, but set it up in Theater 6 and see if it worked. The only content that we had on the hard drive was the trailer for X-Men Origins Wolverine. Therefore, I watched the trailer no fewer than 47 times.
Why is this still on your hard drive?
I have no idea. I have no idea why that trailer is on there. And I'm kind of telling a little bit of a fib because there were two trailers, and I forget what the second trailer was, but it was a kids movie. It was like an awful, awful kids movie.
Oh my Lord. And
it alternated between those two trailers. So we watched one trailer and we watched Wolverine. Then we watched one trailer and we watched Wolverine over and over and over. And don't get me wrong, we were working. It wasn't like we were sitting there watching the trailer, but it was on. And we were trying to, you know, adjust the screen and get it the right, you know, ratio. And is that doing anything? Oh, it looks the same and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So in the process of trying to fine tune this projector, we watched a Wolverine trail. I mean, I was making a joke about 47 times, but I'll bet you I watched that trailer 16 times.
Here's what I imagine, because you can't remember the kids movie one. I imagine right. You're like, we were working the whole time, but what happened was
during
the kids one, you were working, but as soon as the X-Men Origins Wolverine one, you were all standing completely, like being totally brainwashed by it.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's probably why it took so damn long to get the thing done.
Yeah, but you didn't even realize that you were just like,
We got 2.5 minutes of good work interrupted by 2.5 minutes every 2.5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
So we were on a 5-minute cycle.
All right. So getting back to this movie, what did you think of X-Men?
I take it from your questionable attitude.
What? Me? I mean,
I take it from your questionable attitude that your position on this movie has not changed.
No. You know what else hasn't changed? I have not watched it since the last time I watched it, which was not this week.
Touché. What is this like? Is this like payback?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the truth. I just didn't make time. I had time. I just didn't make
time. I have a little story to tell you.
Yeah.
One of our regular listeners, Marley Bear.
Oh.
She listened to the podcast and she said, oh, that was a great show. You know, it's so fun. I really enjoy the show. I said, thanks. And then she goes, boy, David was really upset that you didn't watch that movie. he was really, really jerked that he had to spend the $20. Are you going to make it up to him? Well, David, now we're even. That's it. All right. We're even. I'm sorry that you suck so bad that you can't bring yourself to watch one of the greatest superhero comic book movies of all time.
Video cuts out. Like, and they never heard from him again.
Remember that Ben Simmons podcast? They got 74 and a half episodes in.
What ended
Something
it?
Happened.
Not sure.
Could be anything. All right, well, here's the thing. So you stand by your shitty attitude.
Tell me more.
Can I just tell our listeners that David is currently doing his best Dr. Evil impersonation over here, stroking his cat, just reveling in the evil of someone who doesn't care enough to watch the movie. So you stand by your piss poor attitude, and I'll tell you what, I stand by. I stand by my enthusiasm for the film. I really enjoyed it.
What?
I set it up in Theater 5. I sat down, watched it, had a great time. I'm not trying to say that it's Iron Man or that it's any great Marvel movie or whatever, but I'm just I'm just saying, it's a good movie. It does not deserve the bad rap that you give it. And I even watch a movie with like a critical eye. I was looking for some special effect or some, I don't know what, that was going to be like disappointing or somehow problematic. And I didn't find it. I thought Jackman was great as Jimmy Logjam.
Hold on. I'm looking this up on Rotten Tomatoes because I got to back myself up.
Liv Schreiber was great. Ryan Reynolds was okay.
Look,
you know who is directed
that's
by?
That's horrible. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Look, let's play a little game called
Stop the Presses.
Stop the Presses. Let's validate David's opinion
with
Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is?
100. Wait.
Yeah.
Before you announce this,
okay,
I know that you're going to give it a low one, but let's each give it a, like, let's pretend that we were legitimate people, like actual human beings whose opinions mattered.
How dare you think I'm a human being?
It's a stretch. It's a stretch, but let's try to imagine that our opinion mattered. What would you give the review on Rotten? Like, okay, all kidding aside, don't tell me it's a 3. Like, all kidding aside, what would you give X-Men Origins Wolverine on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oosh. Number-wise?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're about to read to me, isn't it?
Man, I'd give it like a 40.
Really?
It's bad. The graphics.
If it was in middle school, it would fail and have to repeat sixth grade.
Yeah, the graphics are bad. What they did to Deadpool was horrible.
No.
The graphics are horrible. No. They look like, right. I'm pretty sure I've seen high school kids do better like than the knives on his hand.
Okay, I'll give you that because I did notice that.
Right?
But here's what I'm going to give it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 76.
Come on.
I'm not saying it was like great, but it was solid. It was better than a C. It was like my entire high school career.
It doesn't make any sense. They shoot him in the head and the bullet wound like looks out, and then the bullet doesn't come out of his head, but his head seals over perfectly smooth instead of having a divot where the bullet hole would be.
All right, so what's the actual Rotten Tomatoes review?
You want the audience score?
Yeah.
58%.
Okay, what's the critics?
37.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm just saying, man. Points validated.
You know what else is interesting about this movie, though? Like, okay, I'm going to take your side for a minute here. You know what else validates your point?
What?
It was directed by Gavin Hood, a.k.a. Gavin Who?
Gavin Who?
Like, you go on IMDb and look up Gavin Hood. He like disappears after Wolverine.
Because of good reason.
Yeah, apparently.
Know? I'm going to look here and see what else he did.
He did a bunch of stuff that I never heard of.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He just kind of like, he did Ender's Game. Wow. That was the last thing he did that I've heard of after X-Men Origins was Ender's Game.
Did you see X-Men? Or, Ender's Game?
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
I didn't see it.
I didn't think it was great. I just thought it was okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they didn't continue with the series, but anyway. So, all right. So you liked this movie. What part was it that sold you to the movie? Was it him walking away from the CGI stock footage of a helicopter crashing behind him? Or was it the motorbike? Or the love story? Or maybe it was how they took Deadpool, who's known for having... he's known as the Merc with the Mouth. But in this series, they went ahead and sewed his mouth shut when they created Deadpool. Was it that?
Are you done? Because I can see you're putting on some kind of comedy routine. Was it the leather jacket that fit perfectly?
Yeah. Was it the leather jacket that fit perfectly? Or was it they had some pretty good stingers with this movie? I'll give you that.
Some pretty good what?
Stingers.
Stingers, yeah.
Yeah. They had, Deadpool gets beheaded, and in the stinger, he picks up his head, and his head goes, shh, because he's still alive.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just too easy. I'm just an easy critic. I went into it fully prepared, like to come back and give you an honest, like I had it worked out in my head. I pictured the conversation like, geez, boy, I really enjoyed that, but you're right. That movie, whoa. Like I carry no torch for Wolverine. Like I don't care, but I'm just telling you, like I watched a movie. I enjoyed it.
Nah, it's all good. I mean, I've seen this movie many times, so I can't say too much.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. All right.
Listener notes, questions, answers. They were in here. Where did they go?
I didn't see any, but I know that our boy Goonies Jason wrote in and wanted to touch base with David regarding the categorization of his top 10 list.
Yeah.
He has comic books as a separate category. His Mount Rushmore was just for space movies. Interesting. So science fiction, Jason points out, is a totally different thing.
Interesting.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. And here's where I know our boy Jason here. He knows what's up. And I'm prone to side with him because he says, as for the honorable mention in his list.
Because you remember we talked about Mount Rushmore last week, and he said honorable mention, and I said something stupid like, well, there's no honorable mention at Rushmore. It's not like around the corner there's some blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So he comes back to address that.
Yeah, as for the honorable mention, it's located on Mount Rushmore. It's up George Washington's nose. And that was on page 53 in National Treasure. So,
my man.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that he had a little typo in his. Now, we don't grade on spelling at the Penn Cinema Podcast. In our early episodes, if you go back and listen, I had all kinds of fun making fun of David for his typos in the show notes. but I failed to appreciate how irrelevant they were. But anyway, our boy Jason writes in, and actually what he wrote was that the honorable mention is located on Mount Rushmore. It is up Georgia Washington's nose. Actually, Georgia Washington's noise.
I like how my brain just corrected it.
right. That was interesting. Hey, all right.
We heard from Connor Not Connor this week.
Oh, I love Connor, Not Connor.
Right? Not to be confused with he's signed it. This is 14-year-old Connor, Not Connor, a.k.a. Not Indiana Jones Connor.
Right.
So you got to keep him straight. And he's
I think just calling it, because we need to talk about that, because he was a little stressed out. Like, you know, we're 14-year-old Connor, Not Connor. That's who he is.
That's who he is.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He's like, which nickname do I go by? I've got too many.
Right.
That's right. When you know when you're popular. You got too many nicknames.
Right.
Yeah. He said he wouldn't.
He contradicted himself, though, because he said he would not, but then he goes on to say, but I might. All right, go ahead, David.
He said, I'm writing to confirm I'm not planning to watch Bill and Ted Face the Music. However,
is that where he stopped the email?
No.
He went on.
He said, however, if I do watch it, it'll be under the following circumstances. His 9-year-old brother wants to see it.
Good big brother. That's a good big brother.
Right. It's somehow getting reviewed on the podcast.
Which now you know we are 100% reviewing this movie.
Just to get Connor Not Connor in the theater.
Right.
All the boys are going. I mean, you got to respect the boys, right?
Fair enough. Here's the top reason.
Some chick just happens to be the biggest Bill and Ted fan. I hope you find that chick, because stick with her.
God bless you.
And his last one, I'm in the mood for some good old Keanu.
Okay, so Connor Not Connor gave us 5 reasons.
Yeah.
Five scenarios in which he could see himself watching Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Right.
I'm going to choose to accept 80% of those. Now, let me get the calculator out. That's 4 out of the 5. I will accept the big brother move. Take your little brother. That's a good job. The podcast, that's always good. It's fun to stay in a loop with what we're talking about. All the guys are going. That's always fun. Go out to the movies with your boys. Some girls into it. That's great. That's always a good reason. I can't get behind. If Brad, I think we've talked on the show how much I enjoy Brad Pitt. Great, great actor, talented actor. If he was making Bill and Ted Face Music, I don't think, if I was in the mood for some good old Brad Pitt, I don't think I would. I think if I was in the mood for some good old Brad Pitt, I would put on Ocean's 11 or Thelma and Louise or whatever. But I cannot accept reason number 5. I'm in the mood for some good old Keanu Reeves.
Man, I don't know if you realize Keanu's like become an icon.
Yeah, I don't dig that.
The whole "you're beautiful" thing, you know about that?
No.
He was walking on stage for a video game he's in, and somebody in the crowd was like, "You're beautiful," and he stopped and he was like, "You're beautiful," and it became like a big meme because he just threw it right back at him.
What movie was that where he played himself? He was it was almost like a cameo. It wasn't Bridesmaids.
It was something Asians, wasn't it? Like it was made by the guy who made Crazy Rich Asians or something.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of that. Podcast at Penn Cinema. If you remember what movie that was where Keanu Reeves played himself, like, and played an incredibly obnoxious version of himself. And I love Keanu Reeves. I got no problem with him. But I can't get behind that as a reason to watch Bill and Ted Face Music. And I am in danger of I get tired. I don't like when older actors start to sort of cash in on themselves. I don't know. I just whatever. The guy's a legend. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He has an incredible body of work. I'm taking nothing away from his skills or his resume or whatever. Incredible. But I don't know. Whatever.
Can we just make a new rule, you know, courtesy of Connor, not Connor? Whenever we're referring to someone in a movie now, can we call it some good old whoever? I just want to see some good old, you know, whoever.
Samuel Jackson, yeah. Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. I wanted to see some good old Alison Brie in a film. I'm going to go see whatever. All right, cool. Let's move on to what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing this week? Now, this week only comprised of like 3.5 days since the last time we talked.
Right.
So you're at the beach. You're with your fam. How are you ignoring them and taking in content?
I'm not. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We're having a great time. Yeah, I mean, we're watching shows together, and I wrote in the show notes, I have no idea what day it is. Do you know what show I'm quoting when I write, "Are we outside, sweetie?"
No.
That's one of our favorite lines. We quote it in our family all the time. It's from Will and Grace.
Okay.
And Karen is like at a bar and talking to somebody and oblivious, and they go walking outside onto the sidewalk, and she's like suddenly confused to find herself outdoors, and she's got like her big sunglasses on. She's like, "Honey, sweetie, what's going on, honey? Are we outside, sweetie?" But Kayla and I have been having a lot of fun watching that 70s show. This morning I watched Nut Job with my one of my little nephews, and so whatever. I don't know, we're bebopping around, but you have some exciting news. You have some actual watching / reading that you can comment on.
Well, sort of, not really. I didn't get to watch much. I didn't get to read much. I just been kind of doing stuff. It's amazing how now that I'm back at work, I feel like I have no time, even though I'm doing the same work. It's just the travel time. It just like feels like it takes so much out of the day, even though it's not really that much.
Well, it's not only the travel time. It's the clock on the travel time starts when you start getting ready to travel.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it just adds a whole nother element.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. You're like, where did the day go? But anyway.
Right.
So I really didn't. I mean, it's just more of the same stuff we were talking about last week, so nothing really to get into. But I did pre-purchase the new Dune graphic novel. So they're making a 2-volume graphic novel version of the book Dune. Mostly pictures, which means most likely to get Penn to read it. Hey! So I guess we'll see what happens there. But I'm pretty pumped for it. The cover looks really cool. Doesn't come out till October, but I'm pretty pumped.
You know, the first time I ever read a graphic novel, it was shortly after Watchmen came out.
Oh, okay.
So I went through pretty much my whole life. I mean, comics, whatever. I read comic books as a kid. Not, I wasn't like crazy into them, but I read comics like everybody else. But I never really like got into them, and I never really knew what a graphic novel was. And I watched Watchmen, and everybody's talking about this epic, you know, incredible graphic novel. And Mark Ponce actually bought me a copy of it and gave it to me as a gift. And that was the first graphic novel I ever read.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I recommend for you to rewatch Watchmen if you want, but then to watch the show Watchmen on HBO.
That
only ran for one season. It's really good. Yeah. It's pretty pertinent to, you know, kind of some of the stuff that's going on now, to the point where HBO made it free for people to watch.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, all right. A big groan.
I'm looking for laughs. I want some laughs. I want pretty people with made up problems. You know, when I'm talking about my movies is what I mean. Mm. Yeah. So, all right. So speaking of laughs and pretty people with made up problems, next week, Deep Blue Sea 1 from 1999, 2 from 2018, and or 3 from 2020.
If it's out. Yeah, I don't know if it's out yet, but we should definitely.
Oh, okay.
It might be.
Well, I did a quick Google while we were talking, and Deep Blue Sea 2 came out in 2018.
Okay.
So it's a whopping hour and a half long.
Oh, my word.
It stars nobody who I recognize.
Well, perfect.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm 100% on board. And here's the storyline. Just a little teaser for our listeners who can also choose to watch it if they want and let us know what they think about it. podcast@penncinema.com. The storyline is after two decades after the underwater carnage, the shark conservationist Misty Calhoun accepts the pharmaceutical billionaire Carl Durant's invitation to join his team of marine biologists in the Achilleos Complex, a research facility in the middle of the island, apparently on Island Happy.
Wow. I'm in. A Deep Blue Sea 3 releases on July 28th, so we're ahead of schedule, but we'll be ready when this movie comes out at an hour and 39 minutes long to take in Deep Blue Sea 3.
When did you say it comes out?
July 28th.
Oh, dope. That's awesome. That's perfect timing. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
You just made my day. I'm going to watch it tonight with all my nieces and nephews.
No, we're in June.
No, knucklehead. I'm saying I'm going to watch Deep Blue Sea 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Hey, did I tell you about the kid I met in the parking lot when we had Jaws in the drive-in?
No. Do tell.
So I rode around the parking lot for the first three or four nights on my little mountain bike, riding around, chit-chatting to customers, shaking hands. How you doing? Nice to see you. Thanks for – I guess I wasn't shaking hands because of the virus and stuff. But I was talking and schmoozing and chatting people up. And I get to this family, and there's this little girl. I don't know how old she was. She was like maybe 7. She was the cutest little thing. She looked like she could have been in like Stranger Things, Stand By Me, like any of those great kids movies. Like she would be in a great ensemble movie. And so anyway, I said to her, like kind of kidding around, I said, hey, are you old enough to see this movie? Are you going to be scared? Because a shark is really scary. And I said it with like funny body language. Like she knew I was teasing, kidding around. She looks at me dead serious. She goes, I love sharks. She's like, I watch everything sharks. All right. Yeah. You you're good.
Yeah.
Right. So you're good. So, yeah. So I bet you this girl probably saw a Deep Blue Sea.
Wow. All right, so Deep Blue Sea next week. Hey, if you're listening and you want to help support the show, number one way you can do that,
tell a friend.
That's right. Let them know what's up. Tell them, hey, check out this new this new 72-episode-old podcast called Penn Cinema Podcast. So next week we'll be back with Deep Blue Sea, the somewhat trilogy to be. And if you want to get in touch with us and tell us what you think about Deep Blue Sea, podcast at PennCinema.com.
I don't know why that struck me so funny.
I don't know either.
Deep Blue Sea, the trilogy. So now when we talk about science fiction trilogies, are we going to have to include Deep Blue Sea?
I mean, you got to put the greats up there.
Obviously.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care.
Party on.
Party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.